I always marvel how the Lord orchestrates a service. I don't ask Sister Rebecca what the choir's going to sing or anything like that. But the Lord always orchestrates things in such a marvelous way. Would you turn to Ephesians chapter 1? Ephesians chapter 1. Mentioning that, how the choir song just seemed to fit this morning when we had evangelized sometime during the day, my wife would say, "What are you going to preach about tonight? Won't you tell me?" And I've always had this thing. I just don't like to talk about what I'm going to preach. And I wouldn't even tell my wife. And she'd say, "Well, how am I going to get the right song for your message?" And I said, "Maybe you're looking at it wrong. Maybe I need to be worried about getting the right message for your song." And it all depends on how you look. The Lord knows how to put it all together, doesn't he? Amen. Would you stand for the reading of God's word, Ephesians chapter 1. I don't do this a lot, but I'm just going to spot read three verses for a particular reason. But Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, and it is an interruption of the thought, but that'll just make for emphasis. "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." And then let's go to verse 12. "That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ." And then verse 14, "which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." Now there was some variation, but in each of the verses there was this particular phrase that I want us to look at this morning. We'll go back to verse 12 and take that rendition of it. But he said that we should be, that's our lives, that's we believers, that we should be to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory. And I just want to preach on that for a while this morning, leave a challenge to the praise of his glory. Not man's glory, but to the praise of his glory. Would you stretch forth a hand this way and pray with me? And for me, amen. Hallelujah. Father, I pray that you would speak to us as we've gathered here in your presence. Father, I pray there be a growing sense of your presence. I pray, Lord, there be a growing awareness, a sense of eternity. God, through the preaching of the word, may we recognize you're right here amongst us. May there be something stirring in our heart to bring glory and honor and praise to the name of the Savior Jesus Christ, name above every name. Hallelujah. Lord, as we begin this service, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to the praise of his glory. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just lift up a hand and praise him? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated this morning. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but you have guests over, and your wife, or wherever you're at, your wife, she brings out the big, nice cake for dessert, you know, with the icing 2 inches thick, and just looks so good and so moist, and everybody's sitting around eating the cake, and the guest wife says to the host wife, "How did you make this?" And that question is never disappointed, because the host wife goes into details. You know, it has this and this in it, and I bought the eggs at this store, and I put it all together. And I got to think about, you know, men never do that. It's either good or not. They don't, "How did you make this?" I mean, I got to know. And, you know, that's true with food, but did you know, I don't think it's ever happened with a message. I don't think anyone's ever came to me and said, Now, how did you put that message together? Where did you get that from? I mean, what did you put into it? And I don't believe in sharing that, because I don't believe in bringing the debris of the workshop into the pulpit. But, you know, I want to tell you where this message came from. Can I do that? Amen. Last Sunday night, it was a mission service. But if you'll remember, we began to sing and worship, and folks were just worshiping. And maybe this is kind of a trade secret, but with me at least, I hardly get finished preaching one message, then I begin to turn my heart and mind wondering, what am I going to preach next service? And so I wasn't intending on thinking that, but I was worshiping the Lord, and it just hit me. What will you be preaching next Sunday morning? And just like that, like a lightning bolt, that phrase I read to you came to me, to the praise of His glory. And the remainder of the worship and the remainder of the service, I couldn't get that out of my mind and out of my heart, to the praise of His glory. I just kept hearing it. And I got up on Monday and I kept hearing it, to the praise of His glory, to the praise of His glory, to the praise of His glory. And my goal is today that when we as a church leave this place, we'll be unable to get out of our minds and our hearts this phrase, but we'll go through those doors saying, to the praise of His glory. We'll come back tonight, to the praise of His glory. Get up tomorrow to go to work, to the praise of His glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To the praise of His glory. How many knows that that is the purpose of our very existence, is to bring glory and honor and praise to our Creator, Redeemer God, to the praise of His glory. What does that mean? What does it mean, to the praise of His glory? Amen. To look at what that means, we have to look at what we mean by the glory of God. And you know, that could take some time. I'm not going to take. We could go through the Bible. It speaks of the glory of God. And we could talk theologically what the glory of God is all about. But could I just give you my definition for this morning? When we talk about God's glory, we're talking about what is uniquely great about God, that brings awe, that brings amazement, that brings wonder, that brings marvel to our hearts when we think about His unique greatness. How many knows that God is uniquely great? I said God is uniquely great. And I could challenge you, when you begin to think of the unique greatness of God, His great holiness, His great love, His great grace, you can't help but feel awe and wonder and marvel and amazement. You can't help but feel humility of heart and mind. You can't help but feel something from deep within that wants to praise His holy name. Amen. The glory of God is that which is uniquely great about Him. I'm not trying to demean God by any illustration, but there are literally thousands of automobiles on the highway, but there's still those few automobiles. Some of them are from the past, the 50s and different times. And even though there's thousands of automobiles on the road, there's those select ones that when you see them, even they stand out. You've got to point to them. You got to say something about that automobile. And that thing that you're noticing about the automobile is the glory of that automobile. Hallelujah. Our lives are filled with thousands and thousands of things. Oh, but then there's God. Amen. You just got to notice Him. You just got to point towards Him. Hallelujah. And there's something that wells up within you. Amen. That about God that causes that. It's the glory of God. Amen. How many sunsets have you seen? Amen. I've seen thousands and thousands. You have too. Oh, just driving Friday night, there was a sunset and the hues and the colors were so brilliant and so beautiful. One more time, I found myself pointing at the sunset and saying, isn't that beautiful? Amen. What was I doing? I was commenting on the glory of the sun. The glory of the sun was the manifestation of its rays that produced the multicolored hues upon the clouds and upon the blue of the sky. That which I marveled at, that beauty of the sunset, was the glory of the sun. Oh, but far beyond cars, far beyond the beauty of nature of a sunset, I'm talking about God. Oh, He's mighty, He's great, and there's something about it. When you see God, when you recognize God, amen, His glory is what you see and moves in your heart to the praise of His glory. That's His glory. But what is the praise of His glory? Let me take one more step to get there. We not only talk about the glory of God, we talk about given him glory. To give him glory is to take note of and recognize and point out what is great about God. Amen. God's got glory, but to give him glory is for me to acknowledge it, for me to recognize, for me with awe and wonder and reverence, amen, realize who he is and what he has done. What then is the praise of his glory? The praise of his glory is not just to acknowledge and recognize his greatness, but the praise of his glory is when there is a response of humble gratitude. Amen. It's the response from us. The praise is a response of his glory. Oh, hallelujah. How many's felt at least just a little bit of the glory of God in the servant? What you're doing right here, that's to the praise of his glory. We not only recognize it, but we respond. Hallelujah. Amen. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Again, I'm only seeking to be relevant. I don't want to demean God with an analogy. Amen. But our nation is sports crazed. Amen. Some player does some feat on the field. Amen. The glory of the player is the amazing things he's capable of doing and that he does do on that playing field. Oh, he makes a play, turns a somersault, catches a ball in midair, and lands in the end zone. Amen. That feat, that amazing thing that he did, that's his glory. It goes with him everywhere he goes. People know his capability. They've seen what he could do. That's his glory. Amen. But to the praise of his glory, the praise of his glory is when he does that feat. Amen. That crowd comes up out of those seats. They raise their hands. They verbalize. They shout. Oh, that's to the praise of his glory. How many can say he hath done great things? Oh, hallelujah. How great is our God. How great is his name. Amen. I want to answer another question this morning. That was what his praise of his glory is. But what is it that is to the praise of his glory? What brings about the praise of his glory? I read very little of the scripture this morning. But Paul is writing to the believers at the church at Ephesus, the Ephesians, and he begins that epistle by enumerating how blessed the Ephesians believers truly were. You know, it's a little harder to see it in the English. But Paul went for 14 verses in one sentence, 14 verses, doing nothing else but talking about how blessed the saved folks are. Wouldn't that include us? He wrote it to the Ephesians, but does that include us? Anybody here saved? Amen. Notice how he starts this in verse 3. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And then for those 14 verses I spoke about, Paul goes to talk about what God has done for us. Amen. We should be able to identify with what he says. And I'm going to ask, this is congregation participation. I'm going to ask you to help me. I'm going to read a blessing Paul said that we have. And after I've read that, I want the congregation to respond to the praise of his glory. Amen. Let's rehearse that for just a moment. Everyone together. To the praise of his glory. Let's do it again. To the praise of his glory. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. To the praise of his glory. Now let's look at these blessings and you can help me with this. Verse 4. I'm just going to read the part of the verse that enunciates the blessing. He hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. To the great. Verse 5, having predestinated us or selected us unto the adoption of children. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. What? I'm a child of the King. Why am I a child of the King? To the... Oh, hallelujah. What blessings. Amen. Amen. Verse 6. He hath made us accepted in the beloved. I can't hardly help from preaching. Amen. That's the thing Satan likes to jump on every one of us. Amen. God doesn't accept you. Amen. You don't fit into the church of God. You don't fit into the people of God. Oh no, Paul said, we've been made accepted in the beloved. Jesus looked at his son. He said of his son, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He accepted his own son. Where are we, brother? We're in Christ. And Christ in us. And therefore, if he accepts Christ, he's accepted us to the praise of his glory. Amen. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption. Oh, how many's been bought with the price? I said, how many's been bought with the price? In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin to the praise. Oh, hallelujah. I want to hear that again. We have forgiveness of sins to the praise of his glory. Amen. Verse 8. He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, have we been blessed? If you're born again, have you been blessed? And it's all, Brother Wilson, everything he's done, every one of those marvelous things that he's done, amen, has been to the praise of his glory. Oh, hallelujah. You see, the praise of his glory is first of all the reason that he did it. I know he loves us. I know he cares for us. But the reason Jesus died on the cross, the reason he pulled you out of the pit, the reason he washed away your sins, is that so folks could look up and say, what a great God, what a mighty God, what a wonderful God. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's the reason he's done it, to the praise of his glory. But it's not just the reason he did it. It's the only response to what he did. There's only one response: to praise his glory. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. How many's already hearing it in your heart and in your mind? To the praise of his glory. Oh, to the praise of his glory. Amen. The thing. Now here, I'm going to summarize what we just read. Listen to this. The thing that shows God's glory most in all the universe and all the world. The thing that shows God's glory the most is the change he has made in our hearts. You can talk about those stars and planets. That's the glory of God. You can talk about the beauty of a flower. That's the glory of God. You can talk about how the atom works. But the thing that shows the glory of God the most, hallelujah, is the change that he's made in our lives. He's taken the sinner. He's taken the rebel. He's taken the addict. He's taken those without hope. Amen. He's changed their life, washed away their sins, made them a new creation in Christ, redeemed them from the power of Satan and sin. That above all things in the universe brings the praise of his glory. Hallelujah. Not just my life, but when we see somebody else's life change. Oh, hallelujah. It's great when God, listen to me, it's great when God heals somebody. The church will praise him for it. It's great when somebody's prayed and they got a new job they've been needing. We as a church will praise him for it. But could I tell you, nothing brings praise to His glory out of a church like when somebody hopelessly lost, I said hopelessly lost, stained by sin, comes in and hears the gospel of Jesus Christ, hears the altar call, and says, yes, I want Christ as my Savior. They kneel down a sinner. They kneel down with the burden. They repent and trust in Christ, and they stand up. Their life forever and eternity change. That's when we really praise God. I said that brings praise to it. And not only on earth in the church. You let a sinner come to this altar. And they've been praising Him in heaven for the stars. They've been praising Him in heaven for the glory. So, but I'm telling you, you let somebody get saved and all of heaven stands and angelic choirs begin to sing and give praise and honor and worship to His glory. How many like to give a little praise to His glory right here? Hallelujah. Praise His glory. Oh, hallelujah. I believe He'd like to do it. I know it's a simple song, and some would like to retire it with the other primitive, simple songs of Pentecost. But I'm telling you, it still touches a nerve every time we sing, look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me. Just, oh, why does that touch a nerve? Because it's to the praise of His glory. Look what the Lord has done. We've got enough from the pulpit and platform talking about man, man's ability, man's talent, what man can do. That's the glory of man. There's not much praise in that. Oh, but if we could see the glory of God. Hallelujah. Does anyone sense His glory in the house? Hallelujah. Next question. When and where should things be to the praise of His glory? Amen. Where should we give praise to His glory? There is a radio talk host that likes to say on a certain day of the week, this is open line day, and the purpose of you as a caller is to make me as a host look good. That's his line. Purpose of the caller is to make me look good. Now, let's just use that as an analogy. But I want to tell you, before I apply this, first of all, we don't have to make God look good. He is good. We don't have to make Him look good. Amen. But I said there's still some truth in the analogy. Because there's something that folks need to wake up to, both unbelievers and believers. We're on this planet for one purpose. And that's to bring glory to God. All things were created for His glory. Oh, we're so far away from that. I've tried to limit myself on this, but let me just tell you as a church, I may wish I didn't say it this way later, but I'm going to say it. I am so sick of the emphasis of the modern church as a whole. It's about self, how you can reach your potential, how God can bless you, how you can be richer, how you can be more healthy, how you, me. It's all man-centered. We've forgotten something. Amen. We are put on this planet to bring glory and honor and praise to God. The attention should never be horizontal. Look how great I am. Look how great you are. Oh, it should be on God. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art. Amen. Amen. This is to be about God. Amen. And I would like to say yes, in the house of God, in the church, in the gathering of saints. Amen. Everything we do in this place should be to the praise of His glory. This is not a showcase of human talent. talent. This is to be a showcase of the grace and the power and the holiness and the love of God, the glory of God. Everything we do in the house should be to the praise of His glory. Hallelujah. If you agree with me, just say amen. We should sing to the praise of His glory. We should play the musical instruments to the praise of His glory. We should lift our hands in worship to the praise of His glory. We should stand and testify to the praise of His glory. We should preach to the praise of His glory. We should drive the bus to the praise of His glory. Oh, hallelujah. Everything about this place should be to the praise of His glory. Hallelujah. But having said that, too often we limit this thing to the church, to the house of God, to a few services a week. Could I tell you, we do everything in here to the praise of His glory. But when we walk through those doors, we should still be doing everything to the praise of His glory. We should live our lives not for selfish goals. We should live our lives to the praise of His glory. I've got to move forward, but just one little thing here. Paul said we are redeemed. That means we've been bought with a price. Right? And you know what Paul said about that? He says, since you've been bought with a price, your body and your spirit are not your own. They belong to God. He purchased you. Even you say, I don't like that. Did you like it better when Satan had ownership? Right? I'm my own man. No, sir. You're either a slave of Satan or a servant of God. Some folks don't like that. My life is not my own. I like it. Oh, hallelujah. He has ownership. My problems are His problems. My troubles are His. Oh, He has redeemed me. And my life in its entirety should be to the praise of His glory. I'm not saying you don't, but how many believes we should make this go beyond the house of God this morning? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, it'll make a difference when the alarm goes off tomorrow morning. I'm going to get up to the praise of His glory. I'm going to work to the praise of His glory. I'm providing for my family to the praise of His glory. Oh, hallelujah. I said, I'm raising my young children. I'm doing more than just changing diapers and vacuum. I'm raising my young children to the praise of His glory. Oh, hallelujah. I'm loving my spouse to the praise of His glory. Hallelujah. Oh, you say you're getting carried away. Yes, sir. I'm mowing the lawn to the praise of His glory. Oh, hallelujah. I don't want anyone to ever look at my lawn and say that I'm not really got much being a Christian. I want my lawn to show I'm a Christian. Oh, hallelujah. I said to the praise of His. It'll make a difference to live to the praise of His glory. Amen. That old monk, Brother Lawrence, he said there at the monastery, the thing he hated most was KP, kitchen duty. They assigned him to it. He couldn't hardly wait till his time was over. But he said God got to dealing with him that he should do everything for the love of God or to the praise of His glory. He said, I learned. I didn't like it. But he said, I learned to peel potatoes for the love of God. I learned to wash pots and pans for the love of God. And then he said, it got so good, I asked them not to take me off of kitchen duty. I just peel potatoes for the love of God. Oh, hallelujah. I said, I'll teach the young people for the love of God, but I'll go throughout the neighborhood with an example of Christ for the love of God. Amen. Do you see the difference it makes in the purpose of our living? Oh, hallelujah. Someone say glory. There's an awful attitude believers can catch. Please listen. I'm not so much. I'm not berating our church. But I'm telling you, this is where we're at in the Church of America. They've developed an attitude. What's God going to do for me now? What's the church going to do for me? What's my fellow believers going to do for me? Can't even sit through a church service without judging a song. Well, that does something for me, or it doesn't do something for me. Well, that preacher, his preaching does something for me, or it doesn't do something for me. Everything judged. And what does it do for me? What do I get out of it? What do I get out of the church? What do I get out of the choir singing? What do I get out of helping in a ministry? Amen. I want to remind us, though I've enunciated several times, but I just want to make a statement. God does not exist for us. We exist for God. Oh, hallelujah. We exist to the praise of His glory. Church and living isn't what God can do for me. Church and living is what can I do for God. Oh, what if I had the attitude of 24/7? What can I say for His glory? How can I live for the praise of His glory? What can I do for the praise of His glory? Amen. You know, the sad thing is, even in the economy of the church, too few even have their minds enough upon God to even ask the question, am I giving Him glory or not? Their minds aren't even on God and on the things of God. But I challenge you, if you don't believe this, listen to the new teaching, listen to the new doctrine, listen to the new personalities. It's not about God, it's about what can I get out of God. Amen. Most today are motivated what they can see as beneficial immediately and personally to themselves. That's what motivates them. Are they going to benefit in pleasure? Will they benefit in money? Will they benefit in attention? Amen. But I'm telling you, that's not what it's about. It's to the praise of His glory. Oh, what a difference just to live to the praise of His glory. It seems unrelated, but I was reading through the gospel this week and I got to Jesus' triumphant entry, and something happened that made the religious crowd really upset. Would you two mind stand up for a minute? Just lift your hands. As Jesus is coming to Jerusalem, the kids, the children, begin to worship Him. The children begin to say, Hosanna. And the religious crowd got upset. But I got to thinking about something. I mean, maybe the children could think of a few things, but I'm pretty certain those children praising Jesus wasn't thinking in terms of what Jesus has done for me. He hadn't even died on the cross yet. They're not thinking, well, Jesus gave me a new donkey, or Jesus gave me a new house, or Jesus gave me a new job. Those children weren't thinking of anything that Jesus had done for them. They just recognized greatness when they saw it. They recognized something in their hearts, recognized the glory of God, and the children rose up to praise Him. The religious crowd didn't like it, thank you, and said, "Why don't you make those children be quiet?" Jesus said, "If those children shut their mouths, even the rocks will cry out." Hallelujah. Why? Because even rocks are to the praise of His glory. Oh, I've got to find a place to quit. I wanted to talk about Lazarus. He was sick. And Jesus looked at the disciples and said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." He wasn't cruel when He waited till Lazarus died. Waited 2 days. He wasn't cruel that He waited until they'd already wrapped Him up and buried Him in a tomb. Amen. The sisters thought He was. Mary and Martha said, "Lord, if You had have been here, he would not have died." Oh, but Jesus said, "Martha, can't you believe that even now?" I said, "Even now." Hallelujah. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die." Oh, hallelujah. Why did He wait? It wasn't cruelty. Amen. He waited for one reason: the glory of God. We often miss this. Amen. Jesus stood at that tomb and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And I'm telling you, He came forth. He bounced out of there, the napkin still about His face and the clothes still wrapped around. Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." Now listen, there's some glory in just that miracle. People go, "Wow, can you imagine seeing somebody coming out of the grave?" I mean, there's some glory to that, but that still wasn't the only glory Jesus was talking about. I'll tell you what the glory was. It said, and many of the Jews, the previous unbelievers, the previous enemies of Christ, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. I'll tell you, the glory of Jesus in raising Lazarus is there were some people who would have never been saved that
walked away saved. Hallelujah. That's not talking about my ego, my pocketbook, my garage. It's talking about the most important thing. Folks getting saved and having lives changed to the praise of His glory. I'll just move on to a close. How can my life be to the praise of His glory? How can our lives be to the praise of His glory? God does the work in our lives that brings praise to His glory. But what should be our response? How can we determine that our response will be to the praise of His glory for having done what He done? How can we determine that? I'm not opening another sermon. I'm going to do each of these in 30 seconds or less. But let me tell you how you can live to the praise of His glory. First of all, make it your quest. It's got to be the goal and purpose of your life, the quest of your life. Say, I want, with God's grace, I want to live my life not just caught up in my own problems and poutings and upsetness and feelings. I want to live my life for the glory of God. Make it your quest. Make it the thing you seek after. Secondly, don't just make it your quest. Make it your question. You say, how, Pastor? Well, we're faced with a lot of choices in life. Make that your question. Can I do this to the praise of His glory? Make it your question. Can I watch this to the praise of His glory? Can I say this to the praise of His glory? Can I go there to the praise of His glory? Make it the question. And last of all, make it the commitment of your life. However hard, however difficult, however I must deny myself, I am committed to living my life to the praise of His glory. You know what that does? That gives you purpose the world cannot give. You live for this world and its pleasure. It'll use you, hollow you out, burn you out, leave you with nothing. You'll have no purpose or reason of being. But you live for God and you live for a fulfilling purpose. I live for the glory of God. I work for the glory of God. I dust the house for the glory of God. I wash the pastor's car for the... It makes a difference. You'll live your life with a purpose. Music, would you come? I thought of an assistant somewhere that makes it her purpose to live to the benefit of her boss. It changes everything about her. Her demeanor, her attitude, her work habit. Gives her a purpose. That boss is human. I want to tell you, we can live for the glory, the praise of the glory of our Creator and our Savior. Hallelujah. I want to live my life that way. I mentioned that beautiful sunset, and I started to take out my phone and take a picture. And yeah, I didn't. You know why? You can never capture, even if you have a really good camera, you can never capture a sunset on a photo like it really is. You ever been to Grand Canyon? Ever taken pictures of Grand Canyon? I'm sorry. I don't care how good your camera is. You cannot capture on camera the Grand Canyon like if you stick your head out. You can't do it. There's something about experiencing firsthand. The camera never catches the nuances of the spectrum of the color. It's never as vivid. I want to close this morning by simply saying, you may have heard about God. Others may have talked to you about God, and you may sense that there's something great about God. But you'll never understand until you experience Him through Christ for yourself. And when you come and say, God, I'm twice yours. You created me. That makes me yours. And you redeemed me from sin and Satan. You purchased me with the blood of your Son, Jesus. That makes me twice. Until you come and say, God, I give you my life. I determine to live my life to the praise of your glory. And you experience the Lord Christ taking up residence, so to speak, of your heart and life. You'll never understand this about the greatness of God. But I promise you one thing. If you surrender your heart and life to Him, You'll have never experienced anything like it. You'll stand and there'll be something well up within you you've never felt. And it'll be to the praise of His glory. Could you stand across the building? Church, could we lift our hearts and hands and just praise Him? Thank Him for His goodness. Thank Him for His mercy. Lift your hands to the praise of His glory. Could you do that? Speak out to the praise of His glory. Hallelujah. Forget about your neighbor. Forget about the things you're going through. Just say, I worship You to the praise of Your glory, God, because You are worthy, God. You are worthy, God. Look what the Lord hath done. Look what the Lord hath done. Look what the Lord hath done. Hallelujah. Oh, how marvelous. Thank God for His unspeakable gift. Hallelujah. Oh, the treasures of Christ. Hallelujah. I want us to pause for a moment. Listen to me across the building. You are here, and in honesty, you would say, I'm not living my life for God. I'm not living my life for my Creator, my Savior. I'm living for myself, and it's not working out good. But this morning, I want to surrender myself to God, and I want to live to the praise of His glory. Are you here? Some are starting to come. Are there others you'd like to come? Maybe you've never accepted Christ as Savior. Don't hesitate. Amen. Come out of your pew to the praise of His glory. That can be the first step that you make. Amen. You can say, I want to live for God. Look at people who live for themselves. They destroy themselves and everybody around them. Live for God. Anybody else you'd like to come? Amen. Would you come and gather in? Amen. You need to surrender your life to Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel like there's others. Amen. It gives purpose. It gives meaning. Because it's what God created us to do, to live for the praise of His glory. Amen. You're here. You know there's something missing in your life. You live without true purpose. You live without true meaning. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. Would you come? Hallelujah. I keep that open. Maybe you want to encourage somebody to come with these that have come. But I want to speak to the church. I'm not saying you're not grateful, I'm thankful, or haven't been doing it. I'm just saying you want to renew the commitment this morning that when you walk out of these doors, you're going to live your life to the praise of His glory. If that's your commitment, would you come and fill these altars and pray that way? Pray, God, I want to think to the praise of Your glory. I want to choose my work to the praise of Your glory. I want to go about my mundane activities to the praise of Your glory. Oh, hallelujah. 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 It makes a difference. It makes a difference. Live to the praise of His glory. All the praise. Would you like to come and pray? There's still some room up here. If not, we'll make some room. Live to the praise of His glory. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for these that are helping pray. But pray to the praise of His glory. Hallelujah. Pray that God's glory would be made manifest. Hallelujah. The praise, all the praise. Oh, You're worthy. You're worthy to be worshipped and adored. Make my life. Make my life. Make it a reflection of Your love. So the world sees You in me and gives You love. Live for His purposes. Live for His purposes. Live to bring glory to God. Oh, how fulfilling, how meaningful.
For You're worthy to be worshipped and adored.
Birds were made to sing, that's why they sing. We were created to serve God. Oh, to the praise of His glory. That have come, say, Lord, I give my life to you. I give my heart to you.
In the midst of darkness, I want to be your light, a beacon of your hope and love that shines throughout the night. If I fail to show the world, then they will never see. Highest praise that I can give is you inside of me. All the praise, all the glory unto you, for you're worthy to be worshipped and adored.
Oh, let's seek Him while God's doing eternal works in these altars, seeking this world.